What do I do if I have no idea what I want to do with my life? When I'm in the middle of my career and realize my work doesn't have meaning or purpose to me anymore? How do we tell our friends and family that we want to completely change our career? Where should we start in making such a big life change? And how can I know what to change careers to? This podcast was created to answer these very questions. My name is Travis Robinson, and you're listening to The Everyday Worker. Welcome back, everyone, to another episode of The Everyday Worker. In the last episode, we talked a little bit about emotions and why they're important in making big life decisions. And today, we wanted to get a little bit more in depth and talk about how you can make better decisions throughout your life. So, Anita, thanks for being here with me.
Hi, Travis, and hello, everybody. I'm really happy to be here today. Talk about decision making.
Yes. I think this is going to be a really good topic because that's something that I have seen in a lot of people that I've worked with is I think a lot of people know what decisions or what actions they need to take, but it's making the decision confidently. You know, of there's always going to be some kind of fear involved, and people are always thinking, should I make this decision or that decision? But really, like, being able to confidently make that decision. So I'm excited for what you have planned for us today.
Oh, thanks. Yeah, I think decision making is actually potentially a huge topic because there are people who love making decisions but hate dealing with the consequences. There are people who hate the idea of making a decision and they waffle, you know, all the time, and they can't decide on one way or the other. And so it's something that I think it's an evolution. I think people evolve over their lifetime. And the more decision making that you actually do, the easier it becomes, in the sense of it's easier for you actually to make the decision. But for people who make decisions all day long at work, they often will suddenly get totally derailed when they have to go home and decide about what to make for dinner. So it's an interesting topic, but what I wanted to talk about a little bit was, you know, what can you do if you have a hard time making decisions, right? So there's lots of different ways to look at it, but at least some of the problem can be mitigated by making sure that you actually know how you can make a decision, or, like, you know, certain aspects of the decision-making process. And so I thought I would go through that a little bit, because in the last episode, we did talk about the emotions. And so we can talk about how emotions kind of play into this and the process that we can at least kind of use as a hack, let's say, to the decision-making process. So,
cool.
So as I mentioned last time, I'm certified in neuro-linguistic programming, and it talks a lot about how the brain deals with things. And so from an NLP perspective, I think it's important to know, I mean, clearly, if you only have one choice, you don't really have a choice. I mean, the choice is that one choice. That's not such, you know, that's not complicated to understand. But two choices, so if we think about two different options and a choice, two options are actually a dilemma for our brain. So what I often see is that people are like, do I want to do this or do I want to do that? Mm-hmm. And the problem with that is that our brain is constantly thinking about, if I do this thing, then I'm losing that thing, mm-hmm. right? And it's, for some people, they're very sensitive to the sense of loss, right? So they might be tending towards one choice, but, or one option, and then they're like, but they have this regret because the other choice or the other option could be good too, you know, and I don't want to lose out on that. So the best way to trick your brain is to make sure that you have three options. And when you have three options, it's ideal, because basically your brain is going to go for, well, what is the best solution here? It's not an either or. We're not necessarily, like, we know that we're going to lose something because we can't have all three, but it's not the same conflict between only having two options. So it sounds kind of silly, but you go from being either or to choosing the best. And somehow in our brain, that helps us feel better. So
do you think that it partly creates a sense of abundance as opposed to scarcity? Because if you have one or two options, it kind of feels like I have to pick one of these options, even if maybe you don't particularly like either one of them. Whereas now three or maybe even more, I don't know, maybe that creates maybe more of an abundance mindset.
I think definitely yes, but I think you also have to be careful not to go overboard. So my next point was going to be to say, you know, three choices is really idea and avoid more than four, because it can be overwhelming. And so it's funny because, you know, often if I talk to clients about this, they're like, but I don't really have a third option. And so this is the way you trick your brain. You say, do I do this? Do I do that? Or do I do something else? And the something else doesn't even have to be really concrete. It just means, because you might be kind of, let's say, quote unquote, lazy, and you don't actually want to search for other options, right? But just tricking, it will just trick your brain. So, you know, if you think tonight, do I want to have Chinese or Italian or something else? You're only really thinking about Chinese or Italian, but you know that you have this third option for something else. So maybe because you're not like, oh, let me think, do I really want to go and maybe eat, I don't know, Lebanese? No, like, I'm going to do the easy thing. Let's go for Italian. Right. So yeah. It's kind of silly, but I think it's a little hack that you can use to actually make the decision.
Maybe this is a really bad example to a comparison, but
okay.
It's kind of like, you know, when you go to the eye doctor and they go one or two.
Oh, I hate that.
Three or four.
Yeah.
But in a way, you kind of know that they're going to give you other options. So when they go one or two, you can pick one, but you know that they're going to go to a different option of two other options that are more clear. And I feel like in a way, when you say Chinese, Italian, or something else, that something else is kind of like, you know that if you don't like those two options, or even if you pick one, you can kind of look at a third option, whatever that might be.
Yeah.
It's kind of like one or two.
Yeah. Yeah, those eye doctors. Well, you know, those eye doctor tests, they always make me feel like there's a right answer. You know? Like, like, is it a trick question? One or two? Wait, one or two? One, two, one, two. I'm like, wait, did they stress one more than two? You know, it's just it's terrible. But
why I like this analogy actually just in my mind right now is because with the idea of an eye doctor, like they start off and it's usually pretty blurry, right? And they start off with these two different options, and both of them are pretty blurry, but it's iterating over time, and they're trying these different options to get more clear, more clear, more clear, until, you know, they dial in on what that right prescription is for you. And if you kind of think about that in your decision process, or in, you know, picking a career, that it's kind of this iteration process where you look at this option, or something else. Okay, then you learn from that, you move on, this option, or something else, and you learn from that, move on. So it's constantly like iterating your life and that those options, whatever it might be.
Exactly. And what I love about what you're saying in this example is you're saying it gets clearer and clearer. And so
exactly.
That's the next point, because actually you have to make sure that you're using the same evaluation process. Because if you're thinking about between Chinese food and Italian food, and you're thinking, well, Chinese is cheap, but Italian is really tasty. I don't know. I'm just trying to make the point that you can't use two different evaluation processes to decide between those two. So you have to decide on both of them, tastiness, and then on both of them, cost, right? And then you can start making this third option, you know, the third fairy option of, you know, is it something else? So you just need to make sure to be consistent. And then you always have to, you know, make the evaluation and then prioritize, you know, what is more important, that it's tasty or how much it costs. Right. And then you have to make a choice. So I guess maybe in your analogy, it would be figure out which one is the clearest. And then maybe you'll have to make a decision between like a reflective lens, right? Like an anti-reflective lens, whatever, you know, so, but always prioritizing kind of what is the most important. So make sure to have enough choices, but limit the choices so that you're actually in an environment where you can confidently make a decision. So yeah,
exactly. And if we wanted to get a little more specific of to a career, you could say, okay, do I want to be in like engineering industry or medical industry? You know, start super broad like that. And then again, and we'll probably talk about this in a minute here, but look at those two and say something else. But look at all three of those options and say, okay, going back to my feelings, my emotions.
Exactly.
How do those connect to these options? And you say, okay, I feel, you know, really good for the medical field. Okay, well, maybe why does that feel good? Well, you like, you know, the service aspect of it, or you like the idea of serving people and being able to have that face-to-face contact, whatever it might be. And then now you get more clear and you say, okay, within the medical field, do I like a high intensity job, or do I like administrative job? Wow, that was difficult. You know, and so it's that iteration process like we're talking about. So
exactly. And I think you're making the perfect point about bringing this back to the emotions, because they are giving you signals. So, mm-hmm. you know, it's those parts of your brain and your body that are trying to give you signals. And like we've talked about this before, that, you know, sometimes people can train themselves to actually ignore those signals, but they're there for a reason, right? It's call it what you will, maybe it's intuition or whatever, but it's there because it's trying to give you a message. So once you kind of get to the situation where you are, you know, like you're prioritizing, or maybe you even want to use it to prioritize, right? To say like, which one actually makes me feel better, or which one, oh, is that music to my ears, or, you know, so whatever it is that, that leaves a good taste in your mouth, or, you know, it's just all these different things that are giving you signals. And it's funny because often if you are in tune to how you feel, you might say like, oh, that one just does not feel right. Right. How many times have you actually had that reaction where you say like, just doesn't feel right, you know, mm-hmm. and just explore that. Like, why doesn't it feel right? What feels wrong? You know, how is that showing up? And then like, start asking yourself, that's when you can also start to say, does it feel scary? Does it feel icky? You know, like, what is it feeling? Like, how is that showing up? So, and that's where you know, like, just keep asking yourself more and going deeper down that tunnel, right? To see what's really coming out for you. And so that can help you, you know, to determine like, you know, if I'm thinking about these two jobs, like maybe you have two job offers and you're thinking about this one or that one. Oh shoot. Already I have to like choose between one or the other. So now I have a fear of missing out. So let me just throw in a third one and say, oh, or shall I keep searching? Oh, okay. There's a third option. Right. And then start thinking like, okay, well, I always know that I can keep searching. So good. My brain is now settled because I've got this third option. I know it's there. It's like a parachute. Fine. So now between these two job options, like, let me just sit with each one for a moment and see how I feel about it, mm-hmm. you know, and like what's coming up. And then, you know, we talked about those things like, you know, is it giving you heart palpitations, or like, do you feel excited about one? Like, does one make you actually feel happy and make you smile and you're not sure why? Well, explore why, right? So it's not the end all way possibly to make decisions, but it's certainly a big element of it, because your happiness and satisfaction and all of those things that are going to come out down the road, like those do come down to feelings often, right? So, you know, when you talk about people who are making lots of money in a job and, you know, they're unhappy. I mean, think about how unhappy people are to actually want to leave a big salary behind, right? Mm-hmm. So that is an emotion. I'm unhappy, right? And a lot of times, I mean, I know from my experience with clients, and I think you have the same thing, that a lot of times people can't articulate what's wrong, but they know something's wrong. So, you know, using your emotions as kind of a guideline in your decision-making process can be hugely helpful.
Totally. Well, like for myself, you know, when I was in my master's of mechanical engineering program, I had feelings that I didn't want to be there and that I wanted to be doing something else, right? But the idea, when I first started thinking about the idea of dropping out, there were so many negative emotions of, you know, like fear and anxiety and just, you know, a lot of bad feelings of making that decision to drop out. And that's what made it difficult to make that decision, but I explored it. You know, I thought about, is those feeling like, what are those feelings actually coming from? Is it because my gut is telling me that it's a bad decision, or is it because, you know, I'm afraid that I'm going to drop out and then I'm going to be a failure at life. And now it's going to be embarrassing because I had this opportunity. And so I realized, okay, I have fear of failure. I'm being confident in myself. You know, I feared what other people are going to think of me and how they're going to judge me because I stepped away from this great opportunity to get a master's degree. And so I had to recognize, you know, it's not necessarily because it's a bad decision. It's because there's things in my life that are causing me to be fearful or to care what other people are thinking. And so I think right there, that's kind of the power of recognizing you're having emotions, but being able to identify why those emotions are being brought up within you so that you can make a good logical and emotional decision.
Yeah, I think that's a perfect example, Travis, because actually a lot of times people will have this bad feeling about something, like, let's just say, like, you have to go to a class and you're actually feeling completely demotivated, right? And so a lot of people will blame themselves and say, stop being lazy, you know, and make themselves go. Yeah. And so I think, I mean, there's a time and place, right? I mean, maybe still go to class, right? But then take the time necessary to ask yourself, like, why is it every single time I'm going to that class, I really don't want to go? Is it really as simple as, I just rather hang out and watch TV, or, you know, like, oh, I don't like that professor? Or is it really something deeper, which is telling you, like, a big red flag saying, no, this is like a core part of your program and you hate going to the course because it's, you know, not at all interesting for you whatsoever. Mm-hmm. You know, these are important signals to listen to. So I'm glad for you that you were able to kind of overcome, because those are big hurdles for people to have to overcome in their lives, to, you know, especially like moving past the judgment and the fear, right? And so, and it's important. It's important. Mm-hmm. And it's a marathon. It's not the sprint. Yeah. So I think it's worth it, right?
Totally agree.
So I hope that's useful to people in terms of being able to make decisions, because, you know, like I said, some people love it, some people hate it. But if you have a hard time making a decision, the problem is no movement, right? No decision making is paralysis, and that can't be good for anybody. So
yeah,
I hope that simple framework can help people to make decisions easier for themselves.
Yeah. I hope this was helpful for you guys as well. And if there are other topics that you have questions about that you're struggling with, I hope that you'll reach out to me, and you can email me at theeverydayworker@gmail.com. And yeah, just ask me your questions so we can talk about them on this podcast and bring you the best content and episodes that we can possibly provide. So thanks, everyone. Appreciate it.
Thanks, everybody. Talk to you soon. Bye-bye.
Thanks for listening to another episode of The Everyday Worker. If you want to find more great content just like this to help you in your career change journey, go to everydayworker.com. There you'll find my blog, all my podcasts, and other free resources such as my Career Change Masterclass, where I share what's stopping you from switching to a fulfilling career and how you can overcome those challenges. Again, go to everydayworker.com to learn more.